Please be seated and let us turn in God's Word to Deuteronomy chapter 2 as we continue in our study of Deuteronomy. And right now we're looking in the first chapters of Deuteronomy at a summary of what happened within the Israelites as they went across the, as they wandered in the wilderness, especially after their rejection of God's promise that they would enter into the promised land. And as we consider Israel wandering in the wilderness, we need to have in the back of our minds that the parallel to that is our lives as we wander in the wilderness of our lives here on this earth. That certainly we do things which are important. The Bible records two whole books that we have skipped of what was going on for the Israelites. But we also need to be reminded that we have a goal, which is eternity, which is the promised land, and we need to see how God brings us into that promised land, into the new heavens and the new earth, and that God directs our paths through that. So let us hear together Deuteronomy chapter 2, reading together the word of Almighty God. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, "You have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. And command the people, saying, 'You are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows your trudging through this great wilderness these 40 years. So the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. And when we passed beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Elath and Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, 'Do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession.' The Emim had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants, like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emim. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from there and dwelt in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave them. Now rise and cross over the valley of Zered.' So we crossed over the valley of Zered. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, 'This day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. And when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also regarded as the land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, just as he had done for the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir when he destroyed the Horites from before them. They dispossessed them and dwelt in their place even to this day. And the Avim, who dwelt in villages as far as Geza, the Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Rise and take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kenemoth to Sidon, or to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through your lands. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot. Just as the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir and the Moabites who dwelt in Ar did for me, until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, See, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. Then Sihon and his people came out against us to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us, so we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We took all his cities at that time, and we utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. We took only the livestock as plunder for ourselves, with the spoil of the cities which we took from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and from the city that is in the ravine as far as Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. Only you did not go near the land of the people of Ammon, and anywhere along the river Jabbok, or into the cities and the mountains, wherever the Lord our God had forbidden us. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read through this chapter of God's word, we might say, wow, what does that have to do with us? But brothers and sisters, as I said earlier, remember, this is how God leads us as Christians. Remember what the Apostle James says. We as human beings so easily say, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that. Me! And God says, no, we are to say, if the Lord wills, I will go and do this and that and the other thing. And we as Christians need to understand how the Lord our God leads us through life. How we are to live when God closes doors in front of us. Notice a number of places where God closes the doors for the Israelites. That God prevents them from fighting with the descendants of Esau. That God prevents them from fighting with the Ammonites. Notice as well how this history of this world is worked out by God. We as human beings only see as far as our eyes go and don't see how God is working things in the background. And this chapter lays a lot of that wide open for us. Notice who gave the Ammonites power over the Zamzumim. Sorry, I got to say that. I like that word. But anyway, God does. Notice who gives the ability over the Emim. Again, God does. These are giants. And we as human beings are afraid of those who get in our way, who say, no, we don't like Christians. And notice what God says about this. God's going to make the nations of the land fear Israel as he gives them power to overthrow Sihon and his people. I think we have, as Christians, to understand that the world around us fears Christians because they're afraid that we're right. And we as Christians need to understand that as well. And we need to seek to be obedient to God and serve God. We so often say, oh, they don't like us, they don't like us. We need to hide. God's the one who gives the victory. God is the one who provides the ability to rule, to reign. And he gives that to whom he wills. And so we as Christians ought not be fading flowers, hiding, but rather trusting in the Lord that we need to be walking in this world as those who rely on the God of the universe, not those who are afraid of our shadow. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, we look also at the history of Israel coming full and due. God's judgment against the rebellion of Israel has now completed. And now God directs Israel's pathway through the nations in peace and in battle. That there is a battle to go on. There is peace going on. And again, who provides battle? Who provides peace? God does. We need to trust Him. That if there is battle to do, He is the one who's providing it. And if there is peace, He's the one who's providing that too. No, neither one of those is demonstrating that somehow we have a problem with God. If we are following after God, if we are walking as God's servants, we need to be prepared for both. And so as we look at this passage, it was rather difficult to divide. I wanted to personally actually have about 10 points in here and have each one be smaller. But I think it works well this way as well. The first, really 23 verses, we see that God sends Israel on their way from wandering to the promised land. And then in verses 24 through 27, or 37, we see that Israel is given victory over those who fight against them. So we notice in the middle of this, and that's important for us to notice as well, that the Israelites have completed the punishment that was laid on them because they rebelled against God in the wilderness. And yet notice that Israel is not then given straight shot straight into the land. They have some work to do. And we as Christians need to see that in our lives as well. That there's work for us to do. We're not here just to ride on a cloud into heaven. We are called to labor faithfully for the Lord. And sometimes that's going to be struggles and fights and difficulties. And that's good because God is fitting us for heaven through those struggles and trials and difficulties. And so look, first of all, at the first 23 verses, God sends Israel on their way from wandering into that promised land. Israel is wandering by the Red Sea, and they're sent out. Israel was journeying around Mount Seir, and God speaks to Moses, verse 2, and he says, okay, you've been wandering around this mountain long enough. Let's get going here. And part of that, of course, we know in the background is it's coming up on 38 years, and God had 40 years determined that Israel was going to wander in the wilderness. And so as they're sent into Israel, into the promised land, right away God says, but don't fight against your brethren, Esau's descendants. Now, of course, we remember Esau. He was Jacob's brother. And he had been blessed by Abraham, that he would be the father to princes and a number of other things. And so because of their relationship to the Israelites, now this is going back more than 400 years, but because of their relationship to the Israelites, God says, these are your brethren. Don't meddle with them. Don't fight with them. Because God had given the land to them. Notice again, who provides land? Who provides this stuff? God does. Yes, we work, we labor. This had not been something that they had done just by walking into. But God is the one who determines the extent of the nations. God is the one who determines what we can do and what we can't do. And so God says, I'm not going to give you a square foot of their land, almost exactly. God is the one who gave them their land, and we ought not covet, and we ought not fight with them. I think this can be applied to the modern church. So many churches spend their time seeking to steal sheep Well, there's church over there. Somebody's a little bit discontent. I'm going to grab that person and add them to my number, and I'm going to have a big number. What we need as Christians is to be seeking lost souls. Not saying, hey, I want a sheep steal a little bit. Get a little land over here and over there in the parlance of what we're talking about in Deuteronomy here. We need to be seeking and saving that which is lost. Remember, Jesus tells us there's one more joy in heaven about one soul that is saved than 99 who did not wander. We need to have that perspective that God saves us and or saves sinners, and God can use us, broken and stained though we are. And so he sends Israel through this land and he says, you got to pay for food and water. I thought God was blessing us. Well, God reminds them that he had blessed them. That's what the last 40 years was. Remember that God had literally fed them daily with manna. And we need to have that perspective on our lives too. Give us this day our enough bread for next month. Daily bread. We need from God our next breath. We need our daily bread. It is not as though we say, well, you have much laid up for many years. Who said that? Wasn't so good on him, was it? The rich man. And so God sends Israel through again another territory. He sends them through the wilderness of Moab. Now Moab was the descendants of Lot. And of course we know the sordid story of how that came to be. But again, they had a connection with Israel's past. And one of the things we have to realize is God in the Old Testament especially worried about how the people were connected to Israel, connected to his people. And we as Christians need to be connected to God's people through church, through membership in church. There are many people who say, oh, I don't need that. Yes, it's important to be a part of God's people, not just somehow on the sidelines. And so again, Israel is called not to harass Moab or fight against them. This is kind of getting to be a theme here, isn't it? In fact, it is throughout the whole passage. God limits the extent of Israel. God is the one who provides land, and God is the one who takes it away. And we see that, again, with Moab, the Emim. We talked about them briefly. Who are as large and as numerous as the Anakim, giants. Yet God had given the descendants of Lot power over these giants. God is the one who directs world history. God is the one who determines the extent of the nations. And God limits his people as we walk through our lives. That God is the one who allows us, and God is the one who limits where we can go. And we need to trust God's provision and God's blessing and trust him when he limits us as well. And so then, we come to rather an interesting thing to place in the middle of this chapter, verses 14 through 16. Israel has come to the end of the judgment which God had laid on them because of their rebellion, that they had at Kadesh Barnea not gone into the land where God had promised them. And it had been 38 years now, and all of those who had been men of war. Interestingly enough, if we go back to what had happened at the time, the men of war were the ones who were numbered. They were the men 20 years old and above. Those were the ones who were allowed to vote, and these were the ones who had voted to not go into the land. And so then God brought the judgment on Israel and on specifically this group of people, because they had voted against being obedient to God. God accepts our decisions. And notice then, we talked about that last Lord's Day when they wanted to go into the land after they realized that they had made a big mistake. God took them at their first decision. And they were expelled from the land like they were being chased by bees, God says. Fun picture. So the hand of the Lord had been against Israel, and specifically these people who had voted against obedience to Him. Notice, God's hand had directed the descendants of Esau, the descendants of Lot, the descendants of Ammon. But God was against the people who were supposed to be a part of His people because of how they had reacted and had not obeyed Him. These people, these Ammonites, these Moabites, were rotten. We have to realize that. But God directed their steps because of their relationship to Abraham, to God's people. But when we as the people of God react in disobedience to God, God will judge and God will chasten. That's what the writer to the Hebrews says, that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord. When God calls us back to Himself, when God says it's going to be rough because we've been sinful, we need to accept that. And we need to trust the Lord, not our own senses and our own desire for comfort and ease. And so God had brought this to the end. All of the men of war had finally perished, all of these who had been involved in this. And so God has now pointed Israel back to the promised land. Great, easy, right? Now we run into Ammon. God says, okay, head in through Ammon. No, you can't touch anything yet. And we as Christians need to see this. God often says, no, not yet. Not yet, because where are we looking? What's important? What's final? What we have here? Our ease here? Heaven. Not the stuff on this earth. Not ease here. Eternity. Is what we really need, not these things on this earth. And so we need to look to the promised land. Israel is sent through the land of Ammon. Again, what's going on in the background? God was the one who had given the land to Ammon. The Zamzumim, we talked about them briefly. That God had given them victory. Just as, notice verse 22, God lays this out very clearly. Just as He had done for the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir. Notice, God is the one, very clearly, who gives the nations, and even the wicked nations, their places on this earth. We need to understand. We as human beings have a puny mind, and our puny mind thinks that God's just working in my life. No, God is working everything in this whole universe. For His glory and for the good of His people. And so God brings Israel through the land of the Ammonites. And now, God says, finally I'm giving you a piece of land. And so, they come to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Now Israel, as God says, reading beginning at verse 24, rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. Okay, go in. What does God say? Or what do they do? Do they go in with guns blazing? Rambo movie? Of course not. What do? They send envoys. Moses sends envoys and says, let us go through like we did with these last two. In fact, we got references. We just went through three different nations. We're very careful. And we as Christians need to be those who seek for peace, not those who seek for war. Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Israel would be commanded as they entered the land that if a nation was distant, that they would offer peace before attacking them. And Sihon was not in the land of Canaan, so they offered peace. They had references, as we said. But despite offers of peace, notice a couple of things. God hardened Sihon's heart because God was willing to give them the land. Notice how that works. Sihon is hardened. Sihon comes out against Israel. But notice as well that Israel did not go in guns blazing. We as Christians need to be careful that we go in with peace, that we live in a peaceful manner, that we bring the gospel to people, not with guns blazing, but in a peaceful and a loving manner. And God will use that far more than when we come in and get everybody angry at us and fight with everybody. When we as Christians offer people the peace of the Lord, you have hope eternally. Those sorts of things instead of confrontation and fighting. And of course, who wins the battle? God does. Israel, the Lord our God, verse 33, delivered him over to us, so we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We as Christians so often have this idea, it's me, I was good, I did it right, I got it done this time. No. The old saying is, anything good in me is from God, anything bad is in me, that's me. Anything I've gotten right is God's gift. And so Israel enters into the land of Sihon. I want to notice just a little bit because people get very scared when we read things like we read in verse 34. And utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones. Why do we kill the little ones? That's mean. Because God sent Israel into the land of Canaan, and God sent Israel, even with Sihon here, as a demonstration and a foretaste of God's eternal judgment. These nations were so wicked, it was unbelievable. Well, look around us today. Yet God has not fully judged our nation. But remember what God says, Genesis 15, 16, that God wouldn't send Israel into the promised land right away. They spent 400 years in Egypt because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet complete. These nations were so wicked and twisted and nasty because they were guided by man's sinfulness instead of God's word. That's why we need the intervening books of the Bible to teach us how to live in God's world. But that is why God sends them in to kill every man, woman, and child. Because judgment will come at the final day on every man, woman, and child, and everyone who is in sin, who does not believe in Christ, will receive the penalty that is due, which, as we rightly know, is eternal judgment of body and soul. Dying physically is not something to be scared of. Dying eternally is. And without Christ, every one of us is in that situation. And so Israel was given plunder. They had been kept from touching things. In fact, they had to pay out to go through these nations previously. And God is the one who provides. And God provided 40 years in the wilderness. And God will provide for you and I in His good time, in His good place. And God provides not only physically on this earth, but God provides eternally in the heavens. And notice as well, just in conclusion then, that it wasn't just Sihon, king of the Amorites. They went from Aroer, verse 36, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and from the city that is in the ravine as far as Gilead, all the way in to the land of Canaan. They were given the opportunity to overthrow these nations. But notice what it says. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. God is the one who gives us the things that we need. God is the one who gives us victory. And they were as well obedient, verse 37. They did not go near the land of the people of Ammon. They did not go there because God said, no, can't touch them. And we need to be obedient. When God sets boundaries, as He does in the commandments and so many other ways, we need to say, okay, God, You know better. And we as Christians need to walk in obedience to Almighty God in thanksgiving and service to Him. And brothers and sisters, as we look at this passage, I think at least when I first looked at it, I said, man, oh, this is going to be a fun one to apply. But brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing what God says through the history of Israel? That God directs our lives, God directs all of human history, the universe, for the good of His people and for His glory. All the nations, what's going on in the background in the nations, He's using. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the one who determines the boundaries of the nations, and that You guide our lives in the same manner, in all wisdom and in righteousness. And we look to Your hand for all that is necessary for body and soul. And we pray, O Lord, help us as Your children, as Your servants, to trust You day by day, moment by moment, that You work all of these things, even as You tell us, together for the good of Your people. Whether they be wars, whether they be times in which we have to pay out things we don't want to, whether they be times of peace. Even this coronavirus and the mess involved in that. We thank You that You are working these things together for Your glory and for the good of Your people. We pray, Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to honor You with the things we say and do and think. We pray, Lord, help us to walk based on Your word, to live based on that, with confidence in You. For we pray these things looking to our awesome Savior who lived perfectly based on those facts, even going to the cross because of the glory that would follow. And we pray this praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.